Hello and welcome to another Bat Flips and Nerds season preview podcast. This is the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on Twitter at @batflips_nerds and on Facebook at facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. You can also find our brand new website now over at batflipsandnerds.com. I'm your host, Darius Austin, and joining me today to preview the Colorado Rockies is a very familiar voice. It's Ben Carter. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm good, Darius. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, thank you. So we're kind of turning this around. I know you've interviewed quite a few British fans now about their teams. So turning the tables on you. Hopefully you can give us the British fans' insight into what it's like being a Rockies fan.
Yeah, I'm excited to be the other side of the mic, I've got to say. It's an exciting time for me.
Okay, well, let's kick it off with a little recap of what happened to the Rockies last year. How did they get on? Was it kind of what you expected? Did they over underperform? What was your feeling on 2016?
I'd say it was around what I expected for the Rockies. Like most fans, I imagine, I didn't go into the season with particularly high hopes and didn't end it particularly pleasantly surprised. No postseason appearance, which wasn't expected, but there was a point after the All-Star break where the team really started to click. And I think for a little while we were only a few games back in the wild card hunt, but that was always going to be fairly short-lived. And like I said, we really fell out of it towards the end of the season. We finished particularly poorly, which is probably a good thing. A higher draft pick is the sort of thing this team needs. But it would have been nice to be up at least close to 500 rather than fairly far below as we were in the end. But results aside, I think this team is starting to trend in the right direction, and there's more and more reason to turn them on and give them a watch. So putting aside the fact it was another disappointing season, didn't end in a postseason appearance, I think there's a lot that I really enjoyed from last season and looking forward to this year too.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a few more reasons to be optimistic about the team than there have been in recent years. Is there anybody you're particularly excited, especially of that group of younger guys who are coming through now? Who are the players that you're really looking to kick on this season and maybe make 2017 a bit more exciting?
Yeah, I mean, from last year, one of the most exciting players for the Rockies, for me at least, was John Gray, the pitcher, who's always had a pretty strong prospect pedigree. But last year, he really managed to turn that into some pretty solid results. You know, he wasn't really a contender for Rookie of the Year or Cy Young or anything, but towards the end of the year, he put together some really good starts, which is promising for any pitcher at Coors Field, never mind one as young as him. So that was really exciting to see, and I'm hoping he can kick on this year. And offensively, there were guys like David Dahl, who had a nice little cameo, and obviously Trevor Story was fantastic when he was healthy. So like you mentioned, there's kind of a young core that's starting to find its feet, which is exciting.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, that game where Gray struck out, it was in the mid-teens, certainly.
That got
me very excited. That's not something you see very often at Coors Field. So I'm certainly, although I'm a Giants fan, I don't want him to do it against the Giants. But if he can do it against the Dodgers a couple of times, that would be just fine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I could get one more appearance like that this year, that was so exciting to see a guy do that at Coors Field, 16 punch-outs. It was the Padres who I think anyone could probably have punched out double figures against. I can say that because Tom's not on the podcast now. But yeah, still exciting, like you mentioned. That kind of performance isn't the kind of thing anyone can do.
Yeah, for sure. You touched on Dahl there, and he kind of is related to a bit of a wider theme that's been going on over the last couple of weeks, which isn't so encouraging. I have to ask, have the Rockies cursed themselves somehow? Have they been to the wrong burial ground, or is there somebody that they've pissed off? What is it that has happened to the Rockies to sort of cause this spate of injuries that's happened?
Yeah, I've been asking myself the same question. I don't know what's been going on. I've been making extra sure the last few days to not, you know, walk under any ladders and black cats and things like that, because there's something clearly that is upsetting this ball club right now, which is a shame, because the one thing you can usually depend on is entering the season confident. But right now, each day that goes by, we seem to have someone else dropping through injury, or obviously in Chad Bettis' case, through a rather unfortunate recurrence of an illness. So, yeah, I'm just hoping that there'll be any good news from this point onwards, but that's probably unlikely at this stage.
Yeah, definitely. Best wishes to Chad Bettis. Hopefully he will come back from his cancer soon, and I know everyone's wishing him well. In a more general sense about this team, what is it that you're most worried about? Which area of the team do you not like, and why?
I think, for me, the big concern ultimately comes down to depth, but especially for the rotation, because we've already had a couple of guys go down with injury, and it's not a particularly strong front five to start with. And I'm excited to see this rotation to start the year, because we're going to have a lot of young guys in it. And, you know, as a fan looking forward to years to come, it's going to be exciting to see those guys get their feet wet and really start to get used to pitching at the major league level. But we really can't afford any more injuries to some of these more experienced guys, because the depth just isn't there in the rotation. And also out on the field too, last year when Story went down, we saw we didn't have much depth at shortstop. If someone like Nolan Arenado goes down, we're really going to be struggling for offense. So I think every team struggles to an extent with depth, but I think this team, more than any, is not in a position where it can afford many injuries. So although the starting, 25-man roster, I'm quite happy with. If we start getting into the high minors, I'm not so sure we have the depth to compete at all.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a bit of a concern. I know this is kind of something that's been an ongoing issue in terms of developing pitching and kind of getting guys ready to pitch at Coors. Have you seen any signs that the new regime is changing how they approach that to try and succeed a little bit better long term?
I mean, I'm not sure. Obviously, there's been a lot of research done on pitching at Coors, because it is such a different place to go. Even with the humidor now, it's still such a tough place to pitch, and we haven't seen really anyone dominate in a Rockies uniform probably since Ubaldo several years ago now. And people have put forward theories about like four-man rotations where they only go three or four innings and other things. And the general consensus seems to be that curveballs don't do very well at Coors Field. And I wonder, I haven't seen much of it bear out, but guys like John Gray, who rely more on fastball velocity and sliders, seem to do better. So I imagine the Rockies are, if not outwardly, at least inwardly, suggesting to their pitchers they develop more, sliders, change-ups, pitches that don't rely so much on vicious break because of the effects of the air there. But I think there's still so much that we don't know. The Rockies, to an extent, haven't had great performances at pitching because they haven't had great pitchers. So to what extent you blame it on the air, and to what extent you blame it on a lack of talent, I'm not sure. But this year will be interesting to see if there is, a real push towards guys who go high velocity, who have sliders rather than curveballs, because the Rockies have got some exciting young arms, and whether that, will fall to pieces during the season, as I'm sort of expecting it to, or whether it actually holds up and we do have an exciting rotation, will be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. Just to lighten the mood before it does all fall to pieces, let's talk about the best player on the team. I know who I think it is, but who do you think is the best player on this 25-man roster?
I think there's only one man you can realistically vote for here, and it's Nolan Arenado, who I absolutely love to pieces, and I think everyone should love to pieces too. I'm sure that's who you're going to say, because he's fantastically talented. On defense, he's unbelievable. I'm not sure he gets as much national recognition as he should for his defensive ability, but I think he's right up there with Manny Machado at third base for the best player in the league at the hot corner. And on offense, he's only continued to improve. I mean, last year, he mashed 40 home runs. He continues to hit well on the road, not just at Coors Field. He stayed, touched wood, relatively healthy in his young major league career. And he's right now really entering his prime years, and I'm very excited to see what he can do. You let me know who your favorite is, but I would definitely give him a vote.
Yeah, I would definitely go with Arenado, and I would certainly say if you're a fan who doesn't watch the NL or the NL West in particular very much, then definitely go and look up some Arenado highlight reels, because that's some of the most fun things you'll see on a baseball field. He does remarkable defensive plays. So definitely worth checking out. You could probably spend hours watching his clips over and over again, I would say.
I have done.
Something to keep the Rockies fan going.
Oh yeah, we've needed something interesting and exciting to watch. And Arenado certainly provided that in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so not to bring you down again, but of the guys who you are going to be running out there regularly, who is the worst player on the roster who could really do with being replaced and to give the team a lift?
Oh boy, that's an interesting one. We're going to be running out someone at first base to start the season. It looks like it's probably going to be what's his name? Mark Reynolds, I beg your pardon. He was here last year, who has a lot of power but strikes out a lot, and I'm not a huge fan of him. But honestly, I have a little bit of a thing against this poor guy, and he probably doesn't deserve it, but Gerardo Parra, who I hated the signing of last offseason and just stunk when he was on the field last year. He did have injuries. I'll give him the caveat that he wasn't healthy all season, but he was terrible while he was out there. And I'm worried this year he's going to take at-bats away from guys like Dahl and Raimel Tapia, who are much more exciting. And I'm really not looking forward to seeing Parra rack up 500 at-bats out in right field, even though he too has a fantastic arm. I'm not too keen on him right now. So yeah, he can always change my mind, I suppose. But it's a bit harsh to say he's the worst player on the roster, but he's certainly one of the most frustrating.
Yeah, I know he used to have a very good defensive reputation, but I think he's been hurt and that's kind of tailed off a little bit recently. So, and probably not the worst player to have as the worst player on your team. But yeah, definitely someone you don't want blocking those young guys, I think. I have to ask you, you mentioned the first base situation. And I think we talked about Ian Desmond and that signing quite a few times over the offseason, both on and off the podcast. Everybody kind of assumed the Rockies were going to go out and do something else or find another solution. And although Desmond is hurt, it still looks like the plan is for him to play first base when he gets back. Is there any more insight? Does any of the fans or people around the Rockies have any explanations for why they've signed Desmond, who's never played first base, to be a first baseman?
I mean, yeah, when we made that signing, I kind of went through the five stages of grief where I tried to convince myself it's a great signing. And I think slowly it's dawned on me that there is no big plan. There is no sign that we're going to bring someone else in and that they literally did sign him to play first base, which is, as you kind of alluded to, very odd given he's never played it before. Obviously, I still hold out hope that when healthy, he'll be used in more of a super utility role where you do make the most of his defensive versatility. But I don't have a lot of faith in the Rockies management to follow through with that. So it'd be interesting to see. Look, I think he's athletic enough to play first base and play it well, but it seems like a waste for a guy who was, at worst an average shortstop a few years ago and a pretty good outfielder last year to just put him at first base, especially given his offensive profile isn't the strongest in the league. So I did find that signing odd, and I haven't seen anything in recent weeks to suggest that there's something else at work behind the scenes, which is especially frustrating given, you know, some first basemen went pretty cheap this offseason. Guys like Encarnacion, and who ostensibly could have played first base. So handing out that contract to Desmond to play first seems a bit more puzzling by the day.
Yeah, Encarnacion in Coors Field would have been something to see, I think.
Would have been awesome, yeah.
Yeah. Before we get to the silly things, just a couple more. Is there somebody on this team who you think isn't being recognised? I know you mentioned Arenado probably doesn't get quite the national recognition that you should. But is there somebody else, maybe a sort of a less flashy player who should be more recognised for his talents?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of names that come to mind for me here. A guy who pitched really well for us last year that a lot of people probably don't really know about is Tyler Anderson, who's kind of a crafty left-hander who doesn't throw particularly hard or have dazzling stuff, but he pitched really well for us. He's got an excellent change-up. His control's terrific. And he looks like, you know, again, touch wood, a workhorse who can at least chew up some really effective innings for us. So again, he's not a guy who's going to go out there and win the Cy Young Award, but he's a guy who, you know, every team needs to have a couple of Tyler Andersons who will pitch well, keep you in games, and hopefully chew up 200 innings or so. The other guy I was going to mention is Adam Ottavino in the bullpen, who I think you might have read it yourself and some others might have. On Fangraphs, Jeff Sullivan talked about the Rockies' bullpen as being potentially underrated coming into this year. And Ottavino is a big part of that, because although he only returned from injury last year, he was terrific and he has that frisbee-like slider. There are a few cool gifs out there I'm sure people can find, but he has really good stuff. Isn't, you know, one of those names you put in the top echelon of relievers, but I think his results when he's been healthy have been similar to those of the best relievers. So I'd say there's a couple of guys who you probably wouldn't suspect are particularly productive major league players. But the results seem to bear out that they are pretty good. So I say those two are not being recognised for their talents right now.
And have you got a bold prediction or something a little bit crazy for this season, just to throw out there, something that you think the Rockies might do that will surprise people?
Oh, God, I have no idea what the Rockies are going to do that can surprise people, but they'll do something.
Other than signing Ian Desmond.
I was going to say the trade deadline is still so far away. Who knows what they'll decide to do between now and then. But my one... I want to make it really wild, so I'm gonna go to my favorite player maybe ever, but on this Rockies team definitely, and that's Carlos Gonzalez. And I'm gonna say he's gonna have a huge season and hit 50 home runs, because he has one of the most gorgeous swings in the majors, if I do say so myself. He's always shown big time power in games. It's been an issue of health for him a lot, plus the fact that he increasingly has absolutely no clue what to do against left-handed pitching. But let's ignore that. I really enjoy watching him play. I think he's an exciting guy to watch. Again, he's got great power. He's got a gorgeous swing. He's got an underrated bat flip where he just sort of drops it when he's finished his swing. So more out of hope than any kind of confidence. I'm going to say Carlos Gonzalez has a monster year, so pick him up in your fantasy teams if for no other reason than blind optimism.
Cargo to hit 50 home runs, you heard it here first.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the sort of British-themed questions about the team. We'll start with who would pick up the kebab after a night out?
Yeah, see, this one I thought long and hard about, because there are a few different candidates on this team who's going to get the kebab. But I'm going to say it is Jake McGee, the left-handed reliever, who didn't have a great year last year, but is actually dealing so far on WBC. But he seems like the kind of guy who, at the end of a night out, would happily snack on a decent kebab. He's got a bit of, I don't want to say fat around the belly, but, you know, he's a portly gentleman. I think he's probably enjoyed a kebab or two on the Rockies nights out. I'd love to be able to share a kebab with Jake. So I'm going to say he's my man for the kebab. Although I'd love to see Jason Mott have one too. Just all that sauce stuck in his beard would be pretty interesting to watch. But, yeah, Jake McGee's my kebab man.
Okay, and after this night out, who would claim not to have any cash when they were in the taxi ride home?
You know, I hate to dog on this guy, but it's got to be Gerardo Parra again. He's had his big payday. He's happy. He's content. He's not given a penny of that to anyone. So even if he even gets invited on the night out, I wouldn't invite him, but I don't think I'd get the invite in the first place. But yeah, Parra's not, he's not coughing up in the taxi ride home. He's staying quiet. He's holding his stomach and feigning illness. I'm sure of that.
This poor Gerardo Parra is going to wonder what he did to you to draw on the Messiah. And so who's the guy who's staying at home while everybody else is out on the town and watching Great British Bake Off?
I don't know why my mind gravitates to this guy, because he's really good and probably underrated how good he is. And he's just won the NL batting title. But I think DJ LeMahieu's the kind of guy who will put his feet up, have a pair of slippers on, hot cup of cocoa. He'd be well into Mary Berry. So I can see, although she's not on it anymore, is she? Gosh. But sorry, I can see him. I can see him enjoying Great British Bake Off rather than going out for a pint, honing his opposite field swing and watching a bit of Great British Bake Off. So, sorry, DJ, I'm sure you're a really lovely guy in real life, but you just have that boring air to you, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you didn't make him sound bad. He just said that he liked Mary Berry. I'm not really sure what Americans would make of that. But And who would be most likely to do an Alan Partridge and drive barefoot to Dundee?
Well, for me, there's only one man for this job, and it's got to be Charlie Blackman, who looks like he's spent a few nights in Dundee himself. I'm sure he hasn't, but you never know with Charlie, because he definitely has a hidden side to him. He kind of looks like he's slowly turning into Forrest Gump when Forrest Gump goes in that running scene, because his beard continues to get bigger and wilder. And I think he's the kind of guy who would sack off the night out and sack off Great British Bake Off and hop in his car barefoot. So, yeah, Charlie Blackman's the man to go for there.
Excellent. This is going to be an interesting one. Who would be the one player on your team you'd nominate in a bare-knuckle fight to the death to decide between DH or no DH?
My bare-knuckle fight candidate. Okay, ooh, that's a tough one. I kind of want to say Ian Desmond. He's a bit of a scrapper. But I'm actually going to go with Trevor Story. We've seen the power that guy has. I haven't really talked about him much on this pod, so I'm going to say Trevor Story in a fight is not the kind of guy you want to come across. So whoever the AI wants to put up, I will counter with Trevor Story. He is the 200 strikeouts and 30 home runs.
Okay, and just kind of to wrap this up, for the Rockies fans out there, or just the people who want to get to know the team better, have you got any recommendations for a Twitter account, a blog to follow, any writers that you enjoy? Who are the best people out there if you want to be tracking the Rockies as the season goes on?
Sure, yeah. So for any fellow Rockies fans, commiserations, obviously, first of all, but guys like Patrick Saunders and Thomas Harding are really good beat writers. Who do a good job covering the team. They're not, you know, biased towards the team or anything, and they're fairly good for day-to-day stuff. My favorite blog is the SB Nation arm of the Rockies, which is called Purple Row. They tweet some pretty funny stuff out during the games and during the season, so I enjoy following them to keep up with the team in a more light-hearted way, because they too despair about the team on a regular basis. So maybe my recommendations if anyone does want to follow the Rockies.
Okay, great. I think that about wraps it up. So if you can just let everybody know where people can find you on Twitter, Ben, if they want to get your perspective on the Rockies throughout the season, where should they find you?
Sure thing, yeah. You can find me at UK Baseball Blog on Twitter. That's where I tweet most of my baseball stuff. So yeah, if you haven't already, give me a follow.
Yeah, excellent. And I kind of wonder to just touch briefly on your blog post from earlier in the week as well, which I thought was a really cool idea. Maybe you can just give people a little intro into what that was about, because I think it's quite a fun one to think about, especially if you're looking for some optimism about your team.
Sure, yeah. Well, I was thinking about stuff to write about in the next couple of weeks, and I thought with the season coming up, I'd go over every team's possible MVP candidates. So as I mentioned in the blog post, for some teams, this is pretty easy. The Angels have Mike Trout, and he's probably going to win MVP again. But for other teams, like the Athletics, it's not so easy trying to find a decent argument for an MVP candidate on that team. So it's a way for fans of every team to have a reason for optimism and a couple of stats to back up their favourite player. So yeah, I've done the AL West, like you mentioned, a few days ago, and I'm working right now on the American League Central, which I'm hoping to get out. I'll try and keep a division coming every few days or so. So yeah, let me know what you think. If there's a certain player on your team that you think is in for a big year, let me know. It'll make my job a lot easier. And yeah, check it out.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm looking forward to the rest of them. I think that about wraps us up on the Rockies. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today. I've been your host, Darius Austin, and you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. You can contact the show on Twitter at @batflips_nerds, on Facebook at facebook.com/batflipsandnerds, and obviously check out the new blog at batflipsandnerds.com. You can also email us if you'd like at batflipsandnerds@gmail.com. And you can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher or any other good podcast provider. Feel free to give us a review or a rating. It really does make it easier for people to find us. So if you know any British baseball fans, send them our way. And even if they aren't British, we welcome all sorts. So please do send them along. We'd love to have the new listeners. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.